Church, this is your building. This is your facility. If you see something that needs to be fixed, and if you are capable of fixing it, if you see trash on the floor, pick it up. It's your facility. It's your house. You step over junk in your home. Maybe you do. I don't know. Let's not go there. But you know, we are going to talk about the church as it is seen today. If you ask the average person what a church is, they are going to point to a building with a steeple. You and I know that the church is a place where people meet together. So we have the church as a facility. Not only as we have the church as a facility, as people meet together, a huge part of the church process is the fellowship that we have together. We see each other, we talk, we laugh, encourage. There's the fellowship, and then the church, along with the facility and the fellowship, is known as a place where we are encouraged and taught to exercise our faith. So the three F's that I want us to consider for the church are the facility, the fellowship, and the faith. The word church is used 77 times in 76 verses in your King James Version Bible. The first time the word church is used is in Matthew 16:18, which you're familiar with. And it says, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The rock Jesus was referring to was the truth that Peter had just stated when he said that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The church is built on that foundational truth. Without Christ, of course, we have no church. In the book of Acts, we see many references to the church. God called out a group of people out from the world through identifying with Christ to go back into the world and reach those that are willing to hear and accept the message of the gospel. Sad to say, not everyone that hears the good news will choose to believe it. They deny, they deceive, they delay, and finally they die, and they will spend all eternity in a place prepared for the devil and his angels. Let me show you some verses dealing with the church. You can just listen along. Matthew 16:18, "I'll build my church." That was the first mention of the word church in your Bible. Doesn't happen in the Old Testament. It comes in the New Testament. It's that group of people called out. When you trust Christ, you are joined into the church through salvation. Now, that's not a local church. That's, if you will, the universal church. That's the body of Christ. When you trust Christ, you become part of his church. Acts 2:47 says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." We say that's church membership. Regarding the death of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5:11, "And great fear came upon all the church and upon many as heard these things." There was godly fear in the church, especially if you told a lie to the church, you were struck dead. That would really clean up some things in God's church, okay? In Acts 8:1, "And Saul consenting unto his death, and at that time there was great persecution against the church, which is at Jerusalem." If you stand for the Lord, you will be persecuted. In Acts 8:3, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering in every day and hailing men and women, committed them to prison." Acts 12:1, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church." Acts 12:5, "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto him for God." Prayer in the church is critical. When God's church prays, miracles happen. Doors are opened. Lives are changed. Wonderful things happen when we pray. Don't ever forget that. Acts 13:1-3 was the first missionary team chosen from the church. Now, there were in the church at that time at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, which was had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. That's the first missionary journey right there. Paul and Barnabas wrote the book on missions. Acts 14:23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed and fasted, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. That's the local church finding leaders in that church to lead the body of Christ. Acts 14:27, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. That's the end of the first missionary journey where Paul and Barnabas had gone out, done incredible things, and they came back and gave a report to the church. That's a common thing for missionaries to do. From time to time, we will have missionaries come into this church, stand where I am standing, and they give a report of the work that God is doing. And obviously, that's accountability. That's very important. So from these verses, we can see the work of the church, God's people, in the furtherance of the gospel. Our conversation this morning is on the facility where we conduct our services as God's people meet together. David started the conversation in the Old Testament when in 2 Samuel 7:1-2, and it came to pass when the king sat in his house and the Lord had given him rest round about from all of his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. David was bothered that he lived in a nicer home than where the people of Israel met to worship, which was in a tent carried from over 400 years in the wilderness. Now, obviously, it wasn't in the wilderness 400 years, but by the time they built the tent, or they constructed the tent by God's design in the wilderness, to the time that David's sitting in a cedar house and Solomon will eventually build the temple, 400 years had passed where the Ark of the Covenant was just kept in a tent, and that bothered David. I want you to know that God's house should be better than the house that you live in. That's the biblical precedent. Now, obviously, certain resources will restrict certain ability to do things. When a church just starts out, generally, the resources are tight. You can't do everything, but what you have, you need to make it as good as you possibly can because it represents what we believe. So Solomon eventually built the temple that David described in 1 Chronicles 22:5. And I love this saying, the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent. That's what it says in the King James, exceeding magnificent. I love that phrase. God's house, the building, the world is watching. The building is a witness to the importance we put on what we believe. When you see a church today, I don't know, of course, as a pastor, you know, you have certain, your heart leans towards, I've always loved looking at God's house. I've always loved the church building. Maybe it's because I was called to preach at an early age, and I could always picture, when I was young, I always used to picture myself standing in that church preaching the gospel. I'm odd, I understand, but that's just how my mind works. So when you drive by and you see a church building, you look at it, is it occupied or is it abandoned? And in Maine, there's many abandoned old church buildings. You look at those and you think, what happened? I don't want to get sidetracked here this morning, but I was, I will confess my faults to you. So you've got a phone here and you can tap on that and YouTube comes up and there's these little shorts and you can just watch things like this and you can do this like this and you can waste an incredible amount of time on your phone doing this number like that. Don't do that, okay? So, I was yesterday, I was doing that while I was on break. Trust me, I would not mislead you. And up came a video of an abandoned mega church in Ohio. And someone broke into that church and they were taking video. And it was a 4,000 seat auditorium, massive work, totally empty. Church was no longer being conducted there. And I couldn't believe it. If you want to, when you go home, go ahead and Google Akron Baptist Temple. It's gone now. The city removed the structure. It was obviously a place for vagrants. It turned into... But in that video, it showed what obviously at one time was an incredible ministry, preaching the gospel. And to use a term in Revelation, it looks like God removed the candlestick from that ministry. And don't you think for a second that couldn't happen at the Cornerstone Baptist Church. It can. Things like that break my heart. It scares me. When you walk by and you see a church building, is it occupied or is it abandoned? That says something about that group of believers, whatever took place. Not only is it occupied or abandoned, is it organized or chaotic? You know, when you walk into a facility and you see the condition of it, this building, as visitors walk into here and they see what we have, they are making an assessment, a judgment of how we conduct our faith by the way we take care of our stuff, if you will, the building that God has given us. Is it organized or chaotic? Is it clean and presentable, or is it dirty and something to avoid? Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you will be witnesses. Now, obviously, we think witnessing talks about what we speak, how we say and testify of the things that we have seen. But I'm telling you, you are a witness in the way that you live, the way that you talk, the way that you take care of God's facility. Church, this is your building. This is your facility. If you see something that needs to be fixed, and if you are capable of fixing it, if you see trash on the floor, pick it up. It's your facility. It's your house. You step over junk in your home. Maybe you do. I don't know. I don't. Let's not go there. But you know something? When you see something in God's house not right, if there's a dirty spot on the floor, go find a rag. Wipe it out. Now, if you can't do something like that, then you could come and speak to one of us. But, you know, I'll tell you right now, I'm going to be annoyed if it's something you could have done yourself. How do you like that? Seriously, it's your house. It's your facility. It's what God gave us. We are stewards of this, and it speaks of what we believe. Witness in appearance. Not only witness in appearance, witness in appreciation. What you appreciate, you don't take for granted. You treat it with respect. You recognize the value. Now, not every church can have a multi-million-dollar facility. But if you're meeting in a storefront, is the storefront taken care of? You know, if you have, when we first started out, this place was, we didn't have, no church members were moving their letter to the Cornerstone Baptist Church in Exeter in 1994. The last thing we had to worry about was church transfers. Nobody wanted to be a part of that. Because when you walked in and you saw what was there, you're thinking, these people have lost their minds. The town looked at us and said, oh, yeah, they're going to tear that place apart, and then they're going to abandon it. It'll never amount to anything. And obviously, by God's grace, we were able to stay and build something. But I'll tell you what we did. Before we ever started holding services here, we did the best we could with what we had, and it wasn't much. But when you visited the Cornerstone Baptist Church, it was clean, it was in order, and what was broken, we tried to fix to the best of our ability. Because we recognize it's God's house and it has value. Now, one of the things always, I've been in the automotive business for almost all of my life. I've been in the oil business for a shorter period of time. And obviously, and in those times, I was a bivocational tent-making preacher, if you will. Always had a job on the side. One of the things that used to bother me is that if someone had an automobile that wasn't much, they'd say, this isn't much, and they didn't take care of it. Well, what makes me think you deserve a nicer one if you won't take care of the one that you have? And if someone has a home or they're renting something, I don't like this place, I'm just renting it, it's not mine. Well, you can rent it and you can trash it all you want to, but right now you're living in it, and that speaks volumes to who you are of how you take care of something. Are you with me on this? Does that make sense? I recognize some people don't have a lot of money. And when I was young, it wasn't uncommon for the siding on a home to be tarred paper. Do you remember those days if you're old enough? Okay. You had tarred paper and slats on the outside of your house. We called those tarred paper shacks. Now, that wasn't a derogatory term. That's what they were. They were a shack with tarred paper, and the tarred paper kept the wind from blowing between the boards. Now, obviously, those people didn't have much, but you know what we had great respect for? Is the person that had a tarred paper shack that was picked up outside, that the tarred paper was on as straight as they could keep it, that the slats were nailed on and as good as they could, and they took good care of their tarred paper shack, and if they were like that, we wanted to see them do better and have more. But on the other hand, if there was just a pile of beer cans on the outside of the tarred paper shack, we figured they had what they deserved. You say, Pastor, that's not very loving. Well, that's the way it goes. That's called life. And life may not be fair, but what God has trusted you with, He expects you as a witness to take the best care of it that you possibly can. Does that make sense? Witness in appreciation, witness in appearance, and witness in appropriation. God's house is for God's business. When we got ready to build a new auditorium that you are sitting in now, there is a trend in ministries today, and I am not taking shots at anybody. I'm talking to my church family right here. This is our philosophy. There are other philosophies in preaching the gospel. You can do it any way you want or as long as you're preaching the gospel. Now, if you're getting sidetracked, that's a different conversation altogether. But there are ministries now that they want to put up multi-purpose buildings so that their auditorium wouldn't be just an auditorium, that we can get several uses out of it. I'm not against that, but God chose the foolishness of preaching to reach the lost. And we felt like when we got ready to build an auditorium that there ought to be a place especially designed, set apart solely to preach the gospel. We've decided we didn't need removable chairs so that we could clear out the auditorium and play basketball. We wanted a place that was designed specifically to preach the gospel and worship Almighty God on a Sunday morning. That place sanctified, set apart for the purpose of that. And so we put in pews, we did what we did so that when people walked in, they would recognize the appropriation for that building was to lift up Jesus Christ and nothing else. I'm a little bit annoyed with someone that wants to have a craft sale, God's house. They want to play bingo. They want to have a Saturday night dance or whatever process they want to go through to get people to come in and use the building because it's not all that full. Well, it may not be all that full because you have not centered your desires and your heart and your efforts on reaching the lost with Jesus Christ. That's just me. So here we are, and make sure that our building is a witness and appearance and appreciation, and we use it to preach the word. Designed for the proposition of the gospel, first and foremost, tell the truth. Meet for prayer and Bible study. That's what God's house is for. When people go by, walk in, smell the air, and just for a second, sometimes this place doesn't smell too good because we're in a country church, and either they've been spreading something outside that we don't like to talk about from the pulpit, or there's been some critters. This is time of year where critters from the outside tried to move to the inside, and so we give them something special to eat in the process. And when they eat what that special thing is, they tend to go to sleep and not wake up. And that can lead to another type of aroma that if you're watching this online and you're not from our area, maybe you don't have those issues in your state, but Maine is just part of the place that God has blessed us with. So here we are. When you walk in, smell the air, it should be a witness that God has priority in the life of His people. And His house is going to show that we have not misplaced priorities, and we are conducting the ministry that God has called us to. That's the facility, the building that you are in. Has what I have said made sense this morning? Yes. Wonderful. Because now we're going to the next part of the message that you're going to absolutely love. God's house, the building. Not only do we have God's house, the building, we have God's house, the body. From our text this morning and in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, if you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Not only has God has given us a facility to hold church services in, he has also given us a facility in the New Testament age for his spirit to live in us. We conduct church in a building, but when you accept Christ as your personal Savior, your body is no longer your own. It is bought by God Almighty. He owns you. Not only does he own you, he lives in you. He never leaves you. You don't do anything, eat anything, say anything, go anywhere without Jesus Christ through his Holy Spirit living in you and accompanying you in everything you do. So, we are called to have a witness in appearance. 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, remember they're trying to find another king to replace Saul. Saul wasn't anything special, but he was what they wished for. Be careful what you wish for. So, after they had gone through the fiasco of Saul, they go out to find another king. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, because Samuel's out there, he's looking around, he's ready to anoint the next big, strong-looking, masculine guy. That's our leader right there. Let's have him. Boy, that guy looks like he could command men. Well, man looks on the outward appearance, 1 Samuel 16:7, but God looks on the heart. I want you to know that God knows your heart this morning. Hopefully, that encourages you. It's possible that convicts you. But God knows your heart, okay? The problem we have is I don't know your heart. Now, I can get a sense of it after a while if you and I can go fishing together or something. I get an idea of what you're like after we spend some time together. But for the most part, you know, I don't know your heart. We go to every now and then something will happen. And it'll surprise us, and someone will come along and say, well, didn't so-and-so go to your church? Look, you don't know everybody you go to church with. Isn't that true? Now, we look good. I mean, we talk good. We're in church. But as the girls just got done singing, you know, all we're doing right now, this is a Sunday morning faith. Sunday is the Lord's day, hopefully. But you know what? In the Church of America today, it isn't even the Lord's day anymore. It's the Lord's morning at best. Because they're in an evening service. Now, I'm getting a little bit sidetracked here. But the fact is I can't tell your heart, and no one else can either. Man looks on the outward appearance. Say that with me. Man looks on the outward appearance. Now, some of you didn't want to say that. But that's the truth. So, your body belongs to the Lord if you call him Savior. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. We are to glorify God in our body. How? Well, when you drive by God's house, you see that it's taken care of. Does it send a message? Yes, it does. Okay? Well, when you look at a Christian and he's properly clothed, hair combed, teeth brushed, properly manicured. You know, if we came in and I got up to preach and I hadn't brushed my teeth in a month. So, you know, I ran out of toothpaste, and you folks haven't paid me enough to get a new tube yet, you know. You can blame all the things you want to do, but you know what? If you saw me unkempt, staggering in, looking like I slept in the gutter last night, you wouldn't say, oh, I know his heart. You'd say, what has happened to the preacher? What's going on here? Man looks on the outward appearance. We are to glorify God in our body. Whether you like it or not, the world profiles. We were away this week. We walked into one amusement park. And, you know, they got the metal detectors and the scanners and everything. I lost my jackknife at Universal Studios. Ticked me off. They whip it out, measure the blade. It wasn't even that big a knife, but I you could tell profiling, they look, I was dangerous. There's no question, you know. You look at a body like this, and they're just thinking, I don't think our security could handle him, so they had to take my knife away from me, okay? So I lost my knife. They said, you can go back and put it in a locker, which was like 5 miles away. And I said, do you have a trash can? Because I'm not going to ruin my day trying to save my jackknife. I got a drawer full of them back home. So anyway, so the world profiles, whether they will admit it or not. We went into one park. They're putting everybody through the scanners. One security guard looked at us and said, come on in. They didn't even make us do anything. Well, of course not. Pure. You know? So whether you like it or not, folks are making judgments about us when they look at us. We're talking about being Christians, folks. There's no higher calling than living a life that pleases the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I'm a child of the King. I'm part of the family of God. Witness in appearance, witness in appreciation. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, we'll do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews nor the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. You know, how we act, how we talk, how we walk, how we appear as a Christian has eternity in mind. I've got 11:02. I am out of time. I apologize. I'll wrap it up with this. You've got the sense of what I've been talking about. I think, as the pastor of this church, I'm looking around at a fantastic group of people. I couldn't be more pleased with you folks. I'm not sharing this with you because I think, my word, we're just a bunch of outcasts that we're not accomplishing a thing for the Lord. I'm very pleased with the church body that God has given us. That is not my point. My point is that sometimes I'm afraid, my fear is, that when we leave church on Sunday, we stop acting like this. My fear is that we only do this on Sunday morning and not on Monday morning and not on Tuesday morning. And then come Saturday night, we say, boy, I got to put on my best bib and tucker again. I'm going to church and I got to put on a good impression. I think you need to be putting on a good impression on Monday morning and a good impression on Tuesday morning. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And no matter what we do or where we are, wherever we go, we have Jesus Christ with us. You know, really, what we're talking about is the bride of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5, look at that. He said, I speak concerning Christ in the church. We used to sing one of the old songs, it's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Is your life glorious without spot or wrinkle? Is it washed in the blood of the Lamb? If it is, then you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. And wherever you and I go, people are watching. And I am a witness. And God has given you a facility called this body that walks and talks and hopefully brags about the life that he has blessed you with. You gonna try to mic me up again?
Yeah, you can use the spare. You can.
All right, is it on? Testing. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 1, 1. I am number one. Here we go. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that awful?
Yeah.
Yeah. She says put it up closer to you. Here. How's that? Okay? All right, we'll try this. I prefer this style mic anyway. The over-the-ear one, you know, I can wear my glasses, and then, you know, if I put my glasses on, I could see you folks, which is kind of intimidating to me, you know. Oh, my word. Look at that, huh? So here we are. Let's see how we do. Yeah, I look so young. What is it that you want, honey? Yeah. So I just took you on vacation. We're broke. So...